This is our second lesson on Revelation chapter 7, mercy in the day of wrath. In your introduction, as we looked at Revelation 7 last week, we saw that it is a parenthetical chapter during this awful time of the tribulation. We saw that it was a parenthetical chapter, in other words, a parenthesis. God breathes a little bit. God takes a time out and shows us those who will be saved during this seven-year period of trouble. And He does that. He shows us two groups there, the next two bullet points in your outline. He shows us the sealed 144,000 Jews. Okay? 12,000 of 12 tribes. We looked at that. No, they're not Seventh-day Adventists. No, they're not Jehovah's Witness. No, they're not Baptists. Amen. They're Jews, and they have a special purpose and mission. And then we see the saved innumerable multitude of Gentiles. We say, what's a Gentile, Pastor? Someone who is not a Jew. That's the easiest way I could explain Gentiles to you. Someone who is not of Jewish descent. Jews and Gentiles. And we see here, last week we focused our attention on Revelation 7, 1 through 8. That is on the 144,000 Jews who were sealed and sent out with the gospel. In today's lesson, we'll see the results of their ministry. Last week we focused our attention, Revelation 7, 1 through 8, the 144,000 Jews who were sealed and sent out with the gospel. In today's lesson, we see the results of their ministry. Number one, we see the people. Look at verse number 9, if you would. It said, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues." Here we see the Gentile martyrs. Here we see the Gentile martyrs won to Christ during the tribulation. Here we see the Gentile martyrs, and we'll look at other verses that will show us that, won to Christ during the tribulation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how many martyrs there are going to be during the tribulation. You say, how many, Pastor? A great multitude which no man could number. By my count right now, just keeping track regularly on planet Earth, there's 6.5 billion people on planet Earth, and no one but God knows the exact number. There are going to be so many martyrs for the faith that it is a multitude which no man could number. Amazing thing to think about in the day that we live in, the civilized country that we live in, America. Here we see the Gentile martyrs won to Christ during the tribulation by the sealed 144,000 Jews. And we give you a cross-reference in the Old Testament there. Cross-reference Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Now it's important, this next spot, and we're going to actually go to the cross-reference here. Again, I do not believe, and I put I here because I know good men that believe what I'm about to tell you, that I do not believe. I think that there's scriptural backing for what I have to say here. It's, I do not believe that any person who has heard and rejected the gospel during this dispensation of grace, not believe that any person who has heard and rejected the gospel during this dispensation of grace will have a second chance during the dispensation of tribulation. And I want you to hold your place here and write down the cross reference of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And then we're going to go there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 10 through 12. And let's go there if we could look at this. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean that there are those right now that have heard the gospel. They've understood it. It's been presented to them plainly, and they have said, no, I don't want that. If the rapture were to take place, I believe that they're this group that's talked about here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 10 through 12. And again, the scriptures do a wonderful job simply explaining themselves. It says, "And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish..." Who are those that perish? "Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what was the cause? That they received not the love of the truth, that they rejected the gospel. God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an important thing when the gospel is given that we respond. It's an important thing that when you and I praise the Lord as we go out in our daily lives, that we pray that God would fill us and lead us to the right person, because we're dealing with somebody's eternal soul. Sometimes whether they accept or reject is based on our low living. Amen? Oh, how important it is, because there are those that when the rapture takes place, they've already heard and their fate is sealed. These, on your outline, these Gentiles are the sheep of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. You can read that at the end of the tribulation when the Lord divides the sheep from the goats. And He goes on to talk about the sheep, and He says to them that you were, I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. That whole chapter talking about the tribulation period and how they take care of the Jewish people, those Gentiles do. Number one there, we see something in the text going back to Revelation 7. We see the innumerable in verse 9, a great multitude which no man could number. All I know, I don't know a lot about a lot of things. All I know is that's a lot of people. How about that? Amen. That's a lot of people. Number 9, we see the incredible. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, the incredible? Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. What a blessing that is to my soul. I knew early on when I got in church, our pastor talked about missions and missionaries and giving to missions. And here's where you see that, amen? You see that the gospel has gone to all the world. And then we see the inclusion. I like this. The inclusion, not only the innumerable, the incredible, but the inclusion. And I give you a couple references there in John chapter 10. Let me read them to you. In John chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, it says this. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then Jesus goes down in verse 9 and he says this, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Christianity is many times criticized as an exclusive religion, quote unquote. Christianity is many times criticized as an exclusive religion. However, as witnessed in this verse, it can include anyone from anywhere who speaks any language. Amen? That doesn't sound very exclusive to me. It sounds very inclusive. All you got to do is walk through the door. But see, those that enter in not by the door, the same as a thief and a robber. I had an old cartoon from years ago written for the Sunday School Times, and it showed the door just wide open, Pastor John, and it showed this high wall above the door, and people had their little ladders of religion and morality, and they were trying to climb up the wall instead of just walking in the door. All you got to do is walk in the door. Just go through the door, amen. Praise the Lord. The people. Number two, we see the position. The position in verse 9. It says there that this great multitude stood before the throne. And it's extremely interesting to note on your outline, these martyrs are standing before the throne where He is sitting. Very interesting. Laban Strauss, again, an excellent Bible commentator here, says, this great multitude is standing. The important fact here is that they are in the presence of Him who is seated on the throne. To be permitted to stand before His throne as His redeemed ones is an honor not to be despised. God has a place in His heart for those who voluntarily lay down their lives for Him. God has a place in His heart for those who voluntarily lay down their lives for Him. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation. We give you a couple of cross references there. Mark chapter 6, of course, we know John the Baptist was beheaded because he wouldn't capitulate and he wouldn't say something was right that was wrong. Stephen preached that awesome sermon, so the Jews thought, until he got to the application. And he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And they stoned him. And the Bible says that Stephen saw Jesus standing for that first martyr. And then, of course, in Revelation 2:13, we learn of a man named Antipas. Jesus said, "He was my faithful martyr in Smyrna." So there's the idea here, the position. They're standing before God, these martyrs. Number three, not only the position and the people, we see the purity. The purity also in verse 9. What's it say at the end there? Clothed in white robes. These martyrs are clothed with white robes. And again, you can cross-reference that to the opening of the fifth seal in Revelation 6:11. The souls that were under the altar, the martyred multitude, and they cried, how long till thou avenge our blood? While their personal character is tremendous in that they are martyrs. And be very, very careful, ladies and gentlemen, as questions like these come up, say, I'd give my life for Jesus in a heartbeat. You know, I happen to think, Pastor John, the people that say things like that, they'd be the first ones running for the door. I've got flesh. I think there's a little coward in all of us. I say this, I'd pray that I'd die well for Jesus. I pray that I live well, and I pray that I'd be able to die well for Jesus. But while their character is tremendous because they're martyrs, they are pure because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That's the only purity of heaven. That's the only way we can enter heaven. And we quoted a verse here from a song that we know and sing often. Nothing could for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Their purity, their position, the people like this. Verses 10 through 12, we see the praise. We see the praise. The blood-washed tribulation martyrs play the first solo in this symphony of praise by lauding the Lord and the Lamb for three things here. For His, verse 10, His gift of salvation. Salvation to our God. You know, salvation's a gift. Always will be. Faith in the Messiah in every dispensation. It's always faith in the Messiah. Faith in the Messiah. Old Testament looking toward the Messiah, New Testament looking back to the Messiah, tribulation looking to the Messiah. Faith in the Messiah. They praise Him for the gift of salvation. Number two, they praise Him for the grace in salvation. Salvation is all by grace. God's wonderful grace. Grace thought it and bought it. Amen. Praise God for His grace. And then the government of the Savior, it says there, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne speaking of His government. And He's going to set up that government not long here in Revelation. They are soon joined by the angels, the elders, and the four beasts who praise God by saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Number five, we see something interesting here. We see the puzzle. We see the puzzle. In verses 13 and 14, it says, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One of the elders, there should be a thee in there, one of elders, amen, asked John a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is a question that you know the answer to. My dad used to say all the time, when I would come out of a room and leave the light on, he would watch me come out and say, were you the last one in there? That's a rhetorical question. And I would keep walking and say, no, I wasn't. And he would say, get back in there and shut that light off. That was a rhetorical question. Here, one of these elders asks John a rhetorical question concerning the identity of this great martyred multitude. Who are these? This particular group here that are arrayed in white robes. Let me say emphatically, they are not the church. This is not the church. Why is that, Pastor? Well, they are represented by the elders in chapter 4, verse 4, and here in our text in chapter 7, verse 11, look at it. It says, now remember, we had this great multitude which no man could number, and then it says, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders. Okay? And then in verse 13, one of the elders answered and said unto me, which are these which are arrayed in white robes? So they're obviously a different group here. These are Gentiles who received Christ by the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom in all the world. And there's a cross-reference there, Matthew 24:14, by the 144,000 sealed Jewish servants of God, and then were slain during the tribulation. So this group of these tribulation saints here, we would call them, tribulation martyrs here that took their faith to the grave during the tribulation. The church has already been translated, already had the judgment seat of Christ, enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb while all this is going on. Number 6, I like these. We see the privileges. Not only the puzzle, not only the praise, not only the purity, the position, the people, but we see the privileges in verse 15. What are some privileges that these martyrs enjoy? Well, it says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Number 1, where they are. They're before the throne of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the privilege of all the ages, to be around the throne of God. Not here on this old earth where people get cancer, where friends die, where difficulties and burdens beset us. No, one day, like these martyrs, we're going to be before the throne of God. Where they are, that's a privilege. What they do, that's a privilege. They serve Him day and night in His temple. They serve Him. Say, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, I know this. We're going to rest. Praise God, we're going to eat. Amen? I don't know what's going to be on the tree of life, Brother Horsch. I don't know if we'll be picking prime rib or chicken legs off the tree of life. I have no idea. I know it says 12 manner of fruit. Amen. I don't know what the fruit's going to taste like. I know we're going to eat. But I know one other thing we're going to do. We're going to worship and we're going to serve. We're going to serve. And we're not going to get tired doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then not only the privileges of where they are, what they do, but who is with them. Who is with them? It says in verse 15, He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That's how it was in the garden. Remember, as you read your Bible. Listen, God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Physically. Going to be like that again. Special privileges here for these martyrs. Number 7, the promises. The promises in verses 16 and 17. Oh, on your outline, oh, the promises that God gives these precious martyrs. Oh, the promises that God gives these precious martyrs. Each promise here has to do with how God will provide for them for all eternity. God will provide for them for all eternity. They would never again, 4 things that we can get from these verses here. They will never again hunger. You see, I happen to believe that many of this martyred multitude will have starved to death during the tribulation. They'll have starved to death. And again, it's hard for us to imagine starving to death. Being a little hungry in America, sure. I'm sure there are some people that are hungry. And we get hungry from time to time. But to starve to death. It says, and we give you the cross reference there in Matthew 25. Then there are also those, they'll never again thirst. It says there, and they shall not thirst anymore. Why shall they not hunger anymore? Verse 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. So they'll never thirst again. Perhaps some during the tribulation die of thirst. All the water's contaminated when there's nothing to be had to drink. Something else in verse 16. It says, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. They would never again require the sun or its heat. And you look at those blessed verses later in Revelation in chapter 21, verse number 23. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And then Revelation 22:5 says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever. No darkness. No. I've often said, and my wife and I have had a theological battle about this for years. I said, sweetheart, we got to enjoy the sunsets now. Because the sun never sets over there. She said, oh, it just says there's no need of it. It doesn't say there won't be a sunset. I said, there's going to be no sunset, woman. So let it be written, so let it be done. That's final. Amen. Why is that? Because we sing that song, Beyond the Sunset. Oh, blissful moment. Praise the Lord. And then lastly, something else that they would never again, and I happen to believe that this is a great product of the tribulation. I can only imagine what the devil will do to these Gentile converts. I can only imagine, as I think about it, Brother Bolts, of a husband and wife and how they will torment, and they'll say to that husband, either you confess Satan is God or we'll kill your wife. And you just think about that, husbands. You think most of us would say, you can kill me, that's fine. You can do anything you want to me. But how the devil will use and twist and try to get people to receive his mark. You know what else they'll not be? Number four is they would never again sorrow. There's no more sorrow. No more sorrow. Amen. I think that's a great point for us to end on tonight. Verse 17 at the end it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21, and you know this verse, I know you do. Verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I tell you what, if you can read verses like that and not long for heaven, I wonder about your salvation. I wonder if God's ever touched you with sorrow. There's a lot of sorrow in this world, but ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Word of God as your pastor, I can tell you there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the skies. No more tears in the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your blessings. Pray now that you'd bless in our invitation time. I pray that you'd help us to be longing for heaven. Pray that you would please, again, bless those that are sorrowing tonight. Help us to remember them in prayer, to lift them up. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you for this study tonight. Pray, Lord, that you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 378, Now I Belong to Jesus. Would you stand and sing with us tonight as we sing page 378. What a great hymn of invitation. Perhaps you'd like to come and spend some time at the altar. Listen, we invite you to do that. Amen. I know it's not an invitation message. Maybe you just want to thank the Lord for your salvation tonight, that you'll never even have to go through the tribulation. Whatever your need is tonight, would you come as we sing it out? 378. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to